بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is our sixth session, exploring Fada'il al-Qur'an, the virtues of the Qur'an. And yesterday, last night, we were talking about the divine command and the prophetic command to recite the Qur'an. And we talked about the importance of maintaining a consistent routine with one's reading, memorization, and study of the Qur'an. And for tonight and for tomorrow night, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the tarheeb aspect of all of this, meaning the warnings, before we get into the glad tidings and the encouragements. Because the Salaf, the early generations of the Muslims, when they would talk about matters, they would always start with the things that are wa'id related, or things that are warning, before mentioning the things that are encouraging. And so tonight we're going to talk about the warning against neglecting the Qur'an and the warning against forgetting the Qur'an. And we begin with the narration recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The person in whom," inside of themselves, "the person in whom there is nothing of the Qur'an is like a demolished house." So think about a house. The house has the foundation, it has the structure, but it's been demolished from the inside. It's in ruins. This demolished house is still considered a house, but the house no longer serves a function, because it's demolished. There's no valuables inside. It's essentially ruined. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that the person who has nothing of the Qur'an inside of them memorized is like a demolished house. The house here is the analogy to the believer. And if the believer has no Qur'an memorized, then they're like a demolished house. It's a house, but it's not serving a function. Our function as believers, as bearers of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is to be carriers of the Qur'an. Those who bear the Qur'an, who understand the Qur'an and its message, and strive to implement it and live it in our lives. The second narration that warns is from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "I was presented the rewards of my ummah," meaning Allah Ta'ala showed him the various rewards given to his ummah for various actions, as well as some of the effects of sins. He said, "I was presented the rewards of my nation, even the reward of a person who removes rubbish from the masjid." And he said, "I was presented the sins of my ummah. I was shown the sins of my ummah, and I did not see a greater sin than a chapter of the Quran or a verse given to a person that he subsequently forgot." Now, of course, this is talking about the sins of the ummah. The greatest sin is shirk, so that's not included here. We're talking about the sins of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, presented to him. And he said that the greatest of them, "I did not see a greater one than a chapter, a surah, or an ayah given to a person that they subsequently forgot." The next narration, and this is recorded by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud, and it's sound. The next narration that warns against neglecting the Qur'an or forgetting it is from Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. He relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "There is no one who recites the Qur'an and then forgets it. except that when he meets Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, he will be leprous. You know what leprosy is? Judham. It's a skin condition. Leprosy is a very painful skin condition that consumes one's flesh. And most of the ulama, most of the scholars, they maintain that forgetting a chapter of the Quran or a portion of the Quran is actually a major sin. Now, there are some dissenting views that we'll get into, but the majority of the ulama across history counted this as a kabira, as a major sin. To memorize something of the Quran and to then forget it entirely. And this is why a person has to be very mindful when they memorize the Quran, that they have a routine of revision, of review, of keeping it fresh, reciting it in salah and outside of salat, having a program of muraja'ah, of review. Because this is a warning, this is a wa'id. Now there is this issue that, as we said, the majority of the ulama say that memorizing the Quran or some of the Quran and then forgetting it is considered a kabira. However, there is some internal discussion about the extent of that among the scholars. The great Imam al-Bulqini and the great Imam al-Zarkashi, two great Shafi'i scholars, they said that it's only a major sin if the person forgets the Quran out of laziness and out of neglect. Because anyone who has tried to memorize any substantial portion of the Quran will come across periods in their life where they struggle. Something they memorized 6 months ago, they're forgetting. Maybe they neglected it for a month or two and now they've forgotten a good amount, especially as they get older. So these ulama are saying, no, if you are memorizing the Quran and you forgot large portions of it, but not because of neglect, not because of giving up on it and leaving it behind out of laziness, but just because, you know, you're a human being and these things sometimes require some challenges that we have to undertake to maintain it. They said, if it's not out of laziness or neglect, then it's not a major sin. Specifically in the case of a person who forgets the Quran due to old age or due to some sickness that is beyond their control. Imam al-Suyuti, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions in Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, his book on the sciences of the Quran, that forgetting the Quran is a kabira, as stated by Imam al-Nawawi in Rawdat al-Talibin. That is the standard view. However, as we mentioned to you, there's the Shafi'i view of Imam al-Bulqini and al-Zarkashi, which says that's only if it's out of neglect and laziness. But there's another interpretation to these narrations, and this interpretation is the position within the school of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, and the scholars that come from that legal tradition, they understand these hadith a little bit differently. In the Hanafi school, the way they understand these hadith is that forgetting in the context of the hadith is forgetting to the extent where the person has neglected the Quran for so long that they are unable to recite the Quran from the Mus'haf. So this is a person who they learned Arabic, how to read. Let's say they're a non-Arab. You know, the Hanafi school is spread mostly in non-Arab lands. And they learn how to read the Arabic. They can read the Quran, but they neglect it for so long that if they open the Mus'haf again, it's like they can't even read anymore. They stumble across it like it's something brand new to them. That is the Hanafi position. It's mentioned by Al-Khadimi in Bariqat al-Mahmudiyya. He talks about this. Among the major sins, وَمِنْهَا نِسْيَانُ الْقُرْآنِ بَعْدَ تَعَلُّمِهِ, forgetting the Quran after learning it. He says, مِنَ الْقِرَاءَةِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ لَا عَنْ ظَهْرِ الْقَلْبِ وَإِنْ ذَهَبَ إِلَيْهِ بَعْضٌ فَلَا يَدْخُلُ فِي الْوَعِيدِ مِنْ حَفِظَ سُورَةً مَثَلًا ثُمَّ نَسِيَهَا إِنْ قَدَرَ عَلَى الْقِرَاءَةِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ كَمَا مَرَّ. He says that this is interpreted as the person who is no longer able to recite properly from the Mus'haf after they learned it. Doesn't apply to the one who memorized something by heart and then later on they forgot it. That's not what it means. And this is also mentioned in Al-Fatawa Al-Hindiyah, إِذَا حَفِظَ الْإِنسَانُ الْقُرْآنَ ثُمَّ نَسِيَهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْثَمُ وَتَفْسِيرُ النِّسْيَانِ أَنْ لَا يُمْكِنَهُ الْقِرَاءَ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ. Same interpretation. You're no longer able to even read from the Mus'haf. That was their interpretation. Now, the great Imam Abdul Ghani al-Nablusi, the great Hanafi Ottoman scholar, he mentions these positions and he says, this position is actually a great rahmah. It's a great rahmah that at least some of the great imams took that position. It's a certain expansiveness from within the school of Imam Abu Hanifa, which means that if you are memorizing the Quran, and as you go further and things happen in your life and you begin to forget portions of it, inshallah, you're not sinful as long as you're A, not doing it out of laziness, neglecting it, and it's not to the point where you've completely forsaken the Quran. But, and likewise, the fuqaha say that although this is the case, that maybe that person's not sinful for having memorized something of the Quran and then forgotten it, nevertheless, if they have forgotten something of the Quran, they have to take the means to relearn it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it's not a sin, they still have to take the means to relearn what they have forgotten. And we end with two narrations. Both of these narrations come from the book Fada'il al-Qur'an by Imam Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam, who was the earliest compiler in the genre of Fada'il al-Qur'an. He cites with his chain of narration two reports, one of which comes from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma said, I despise to see a reciter of the Qur'an that becomes corpulent and forgetful of the Qur'an. You know what corpulent means? They become fat. He says, I despise to see a qari of the Qur'an who combines these two things. They become fat and they forget the Qur'an. This is what he says. Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam also transmits with his sanad from Hassan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma, from Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, who said, it said about him that toward the end of his life as the Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was so busy that he never actually got to memorize the entire Quran. So he died without having memorized the entire Quran. And shortly before he passed away, he said the following statement. It is more beloved to me to die while increasing than to die while decreasing. And the sub-narrator, the rawi of this report from Hassan, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Muthanna, he understood this a certain way and he interpreted it. He said that what he meant by decrease is forgetting the Quran. So it's as if Sayyidina Umar was saying towards the end of his life on his deathbed, it's more beloved for me to die while increasing, while still being on that journey, even as to the very end, than to memorize the entire Quran way before this, but to be decreasing because I'm so busy that I forget it. So whenever a person is in the journey of memorizing the Quran, they have to go at a pace that they can maintain, given their schedule. They have to go at a pace where they know they can maintain it through review, where they don't forget it. And if they struggle in that journey and find that they're forgetting parts of the Quran, they should not lose hope as long as that forgetfulness is not due to neglect and laziness. And if they found that they've forgotten some portions of the Quran, then the only thing that they have to do is to recommit and re-memorize, re-review, and make those strong again. This journey is not one that a person accomplishes in 1 year. Ask any hafiz of the Quran, ask anyone who is gone substantially in that journey, they understand that when you begin the journey of memorizing the Quran, it is not a journey that you ever end. In fact, ask any hafiz, and we can ask them right now. When you memorize the Quran, that's the beginning of the journey. It never ends. You have to constantly review it, constantly go over it. And that forces you to do muraja'ah, review, reciting it in salat, teaching it to others, all of these are the means of preserving and keeping what you've memorized. So whether you're memorizing one juz or two juz or five, or even just smaller chapters of the Quran, when you undertake that journey, it's not something you do and are done with. You always have to maintain what you memorize by reciting them in salat, by reviewing them, by studying them. And if you struggle, you can't lose hope and feel that you're somehow cursed. As long as that struggle with memorization and that struggle with forgetting is not due to your own negligence and laziness. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us of those people, من حفظت كتابي وحملت كتابه, and to make us of the people of mu'ahada, those who have that program, that constant engagement with the book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.